in a very, ooh, that's better, in a very positive way. This morning's sermon, in a sense, comes out of something God has spoken to me over the past few weeks, but also something God has been working in my life for quite a few years now. How did you get here this morning? Did anyone walk? Put your hands up if you walked. Yep. Put your hands up if you came in a car. Bus? No buses on the Sunday. Scooter? Anyone come by scooter? Taxi? Private jet or helicopter? Oh, I thought that was Mary's hand then, yeah. All different methods of transport. How we get from A to B. I normally take the car in if I've got a meeting somewhere, but usually I'll catch a train from Pontymister over to Cardiff Central, then about 15-minute walk into work. I take the train because I like to sit there on the train, have a read, get into a book or something, you know, and not be all stressed out in all the heavy traffic getting into Cardiff. We've got different ways of getting from A to B. I'm disappointed that's come on because it was a good embarrassing photo on there. Oh, it's coming up now. Oh, just at the right time for the embarrassing photo. We'll soon see it anyhow. But rather than how we get to church, how we get to work, how we get to the shops, I want to ask you this morning how you get from one day to another. Maybe there's stuff going in your life and you're finding it difficult enough just to get from morning to afternoon, to get through the night, to get from one week to the next week. You may be thinking, a couple of weeks' time, there's something coming up in my life and I'm not looking forward to that. And you wake up in the night and you just, oh, just wish I didn't have to face that. From one situation to another. Or maybe it's the next season of your life. Looking around, I know there's some people who've finished school or finished exams, maybe going on to college or wondering what to do for the next stage in life. But at the moment, the children are at home, but in a few years' time, they'll have left and you've got a prospect of loneliness or other things on the horizon. Or corporately, as a church, from meeting here on a Sunday morning to hopefully in the not-too-distant future, meeting in Tabor and moving from a church that gathers here on a Sunday to having a multi-purpose community centre that is just blessing the community in so many ways. Because there's lots of unknown factors in each one of our lives. For instance, I woke up on Friday the 5th of February and as I got out of bed, little did I realise I'd be taken into hospital that day and spend a week in hospital and come home pumped full of painkillers and other kinds of drugs because of my bad back. You'll be getting your violins out in a minute. In March, I had no idea that I'd be going into work one morning and being made redundant. And then in April, how to cope financially when the central heating boiler goes and the deep freezer goes. They've all been replaced. They're all brand spanking new now. God's been wonderful. But how to cope financially? And then May, being unemployed now, as a 50-year-old and thinking things in the natural don't look too good. And then in June, the prospect of starting a brand new job and everything. Let's have a look at the next photo. So look at the next one. There, you can't quite see it. Have a look at it there. That's Corin and that's Joshua. Their preferred method of transport when Corin was about 3 and Joshua, when he was about 4 months old, was a motorbike. They went everywhere on this motorbike. She learned to ride at a very early age. And some of you are looking and thinking, really? No, not really. It was about 6 before she learned to ride that. So, but what gets you through life? What foundation have you got in your life so that when the unexpected comes, when you have to deal with day-to-day life and the big circumstances, how do you get from A to B? And there's a verse that it's been one of my go-to Bible verses for years now. You know, I'm going to use the word decades. And it really has, but that makes me feel really old. You know, when you start to talk, instead of years, you talk about decades. But this has been, it's not centuries yet. Eons, ages, generations. This has been one of my go-to verses now for a couple of decades. Something that, and I can honestly say, it doesn't matter how far down I've gone, this Bible verse comes to mind, and within no time at all, God has used it to turn me around. Not necessarily the situation around, but the most important thing to be turned around before the situation gets turned around is you as an individual, is having your heart reconnected, re-engaged and linked together with God, because that is far more important than having any circumstance, any answer to prayer, any situation turned around. Is first of all God reconnecting our hearts back to him, linking us in with him, because once we've done that, then that gives us the ability to keep on going. So, this verse, it's Isaiah 41, and basically, we're going to dig into this verse this morning. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And in this verse, God gives us 5 foundations that will help us in living day to day. 5 foundations, 5 principles that apply or can apply to each one of us here, no matter how old we are, how young we are. 5 very simple principles, and each one of them is just 4 words each. Let's have a look at the first one then. God says to each one of us this morning, do not fear. That's God's word to you this morning, wherever you are, whatever you're facing, whatever's on the horizon of your life, God says, don't fear. So God's speaking directly to your anxiety, to your worries, to your insecurities, because each one of us has to deal with stuff like that on a regular basis. Fear because of what we see happening in the world. Turn on the news in America and you see black people being shot, police people being shot, and law and order just in chaos, where people are not trusting the justice system. About the Brexit vote here and people not certain about what's going to happen. Fear because you know maybe in the next week or so you've got to go and get the results of the scan or the blood tests and things like that. Fear because of certain relationships. Maybe in the past you've been in an abusive relationship. Someone has maybe tried to control you and that person is still on the horizon in your life and it brings fear to you. There's anxiety over your educational prospects. What are you going to do at school? What are you going to do at college? Your income, your relationships, And these things can rob us of our sleep and gnaw at our hearts. And each person on the face of planet Earth, each person on the face of planet Earth, one of their big questions is, how do I fix this? How can I solve this worry? How can I overcome this anxiety? How can I live a fear-free life? Because it is possible. And God has the audacity to say to each one of us this morning, do not fear. Well, I appreciate that, God, but do you know what's going on in my life right now? Do you know, God, what I've got to face this coming month? Do you know, God, I was made redundant? Did you see that letter? Did you hear the doctor's result, God? Do you hear the rows that go on at home, God? Do you see the heartache, God? But God has got a very sure, a very strong, a very powerful, and a very weighty antidote to each one of those. Because it doesn't matter this morning how big the fear is. It doesn't matter what it's rooted in. It doesn't matter what the source of it is. The answer, the response God gives to your fear and my fear this morning is big enough, strong enough, weighty enough, important enough to overcome and wipe away any fear whatsoever. What's God's response to our fear this morning? Let's have a look at the next one. I am with you. Four words. I am with you. These past 2 weeks as I've been going into work, you know, it's a bit nerve-wracking starting a new job when you don't know the setup, you don't know the people, and you're walking from the train station. You got a 15-minute walk to the office. So every morning I've just been taking this verse apart and saying, God, I'm not going to be afraid today. Why? You're with me. Because those four words from God, if they're real, if you've taken them on board, if you know that God is with you, can change your entire outlook on everything. Because first of all, you need to ask, well, who's with me? It's this God, the one who created the universe, the one who's we've been singing about this morning, his splendor, his greatness, his kindness, his love, his compassion. He's with you 24/7. But God wants to get us from knowing the facts of the Bible, yeah, God's with me, to letting it have an effect on our mind, our heart, our emotions, and our outlook in life. Let's look at a passage from the Bible, Psalm 56. So it's Psalm 46, verses 1 to 3. And the psalmist says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling, Selah. This psalm starts with two statements of fact. Let's have a look at the next slide. Two statements of fact. First one, God is our refuge and strength. Second one, a very present help in trouble. So, things God wants you to know this morning, he's your refuge. He's the one you can go running to. He's the one who can give you strength. He's the one who is a very present help in trouble. It means he's more than willing, he's more than ready, he's right there straight away. As soon as you're in trouble, he is there. That's how present God is, because he is with you. So the psalmist starts his day with some knowledge. God's my refuge, he's my strength, he's a very present help in trouble. So what does he do then? Close his Bible, thank you, Jesus, and off to work. No. He draws some conclusions from this. He takes some time to think it over and to work it out and apply it to his own life. Let's have a look at the next slide. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in times of trouble. Therefore, because of this, because this is true, God's my refuge, my strength, he's present to help me. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling, Selah. Or pause for a minute and think about that one. That's what Selah means. It's a musical thing where they would stop the singing, the instruments would play, and it gives you a bit of time to think about what you've just been singing. So God says, hit the pause button and think about that. I'm your refuge, I'm your strength, I'm your very present help in trouble. So what implications has that got for each one of us tomorrow morning, this afternoon? The implication God wants it to have in your life is, therefore, I will not fear. Because God is with me, he's my refuge, he's my strength, and he's my helper. So because of this, I am not going to fear. Yeah, but what about that? God's bigger than that. Yeah, but what about that? God can take care of that situation. God is bigger. God is more supreme. God is more powerful. God is wiser. God is better. Matthew 1 verse 23 tells us, one of the names the angel said they would call Jesus is Emmanuel. What does Emmanuel mean? God is with us. So Jesus, God, became a man, dwelt in a body like this. And God is with us. That's his name, Emmanuel, because he loves to be with people like us. Can I ask you, do you know Jesus? Do you know he's with you? Have you got that rock solid certainty that the psalmist has, that whatever happens, no matter how dire the situation, how bad it looks, I know that God is with me. Because that's the wonderful thing about the good news of Jesus dying for us. You can know that he's with you. You can know him as your friend. You can know him as your constant companion. So first foundation is, I am with you. So, second foundation for living, from getting through life, is, let's have a look at the next one, do not be dismayed. Do not fear. That has to do with the future, what may happen, what could come about, the worries, the anxieties and things like that. Dismay, that's to do with what has happened, the past. You know, it might have been something that happened 5 seconds ago when you get the redundancy notice, when you hear the, you know, the diagnosis from the doctor. It could have been abuse that happened years ago. It could have been words somebody said to you months ago. But something happened in time past, whether in your childhood or 5 minutes ago, and the effect it has on your heart right now is dismay, discouragement, dejected, guilt, shame, heartbreak, loss, emptiness. You feel insignificant in this big wide world. And your life is filled with dismay because of what has happened in the past. That's the way I could have felt back in March. 50. Bad back, redundant, what prospects? But God speaks to people in situations like those, and God speaks into very real circumstances. And again, God's got to come up with a good antidote to deal with the dismay that could be in some hearts here today. You know, anybody can pick up their Bible and open it, at this passage, Isaiah 41:10. Anyone, someone who's been a victim of the most heinous crimes, someone who is heartbroken, someone whose life is filled with tragedy, doesn't just mean people who've lived nice, happy, middle-class lives. People who are in the gutter could open the Bible to this verse. So when God says, do not be dismayed, he's got to come out with a jolly good reason to cope and deal with and heal all of the dismay of the past. What's his antidote? I am your God. Four more words. I am with you. I am your God. That's God's response to deal with all the hurt, all the rejection of the past. I am your God. What is a God? Small g, what is a God? Come on, let's have a few suggestions. What's a God? Someone you worship? Creator? Something greater than us, yeah. Say again. A higher power, yeah. I was reading just this past couple of weeks from a guy called Martin Luther, a few hundred years ago. And he's writing down about the first commandment, which we'll come on to in a bit. And he said, he asked the question, what is a God? And he said, a God is a thing that we look to in order to receive something good, something that will rescue us, something that will bring us comfort, and something that we will trust in with all of our hearts. That will be our saviour, our rescuer, our helper. That is basically, I think, a good definition of a God. Something that we look to for help, rescue and comfort. And something that we put it in such a place for those things that we start to trust in it with all of our hearts. That's why money can be a God. Because you can look to money to rescue you, to help you, to change your lifestyle, to bring you out of the situation you're in, to comfort you. So you look to money and you put your trust in money to bring you there. You look to other people. You might be thinking, I'll just get married. And look to that person. And that person will bring me fulfillment. Hopefully a good income. You know, I can be a kept man or woman or whatever. You look to organisations. Maybe the welfare system, maybe your work, your employer, or governments. You look to religion and the whole system of organized religion, that if I do this, then they will do that. If I scratch God's back, he will scratch mine. If I come to church a few times a year, then God will do this for me because he owes me something now. And that's the way religion works. Or power, whether it's physical power, political power, influence. You look to those things to rescue you and get you to A to B. Sex, pleasure, self-identity, any of these things you can look to as things that will give you worth, value, comfort, help, and you start to put your trust in those things. And then those things start to function as your God because they're your go-to things. They're your coping mechanisms. They're the things that you turn to time and time again to lift you up when you're down, to give you meaning and to give you relevance. It could be the bottle, it could be TV, it could be a whole bag of things. What is the, let's have a look at the next slide. What is the first commandment? That's the greatest commandment. Ten commandments. You shall have no other gods. Let's have the next one. You shall have no other gods before or besides me. God says, when he spoke to the nation of Israel, first commandment, number one, is you will not have any other gods besides me. That law is for our good. That law is to point us in the right direction of how to live the best, most fulfilled life and to live for the purpose we were created. Because when God says, if you look to all these other things as your God, as your helper, as your rescuer, as your comforter, the one to bring you security and relevance, they're going to let you down. They're going to fail you. There will come a day when they won't come up with the goods. If you make me your God, Jesus says, he will never let you down. He will never fail you. He will always be there for you. He is the only God who can take the full weight of you and all your baggage. No one else can do that. I love my wife with all my heart. She's not here this morning. She's feeling a bit peaky. No, she's a bit worse than peaky, but I love her. But she can't come up with the goods all the time. And I can't come up with the goods all the time for her. It's impossible for a person to do that. We put people, we put things in the place of God. And we end up hurt, we end up disappointed, because we give them a role they weren't meant to have. Only God can be our God. So God says, don't be dismayed, for I am your God. I'm the one who can carry you, sustain you, fulfill you, show you the purpose why you're here. I'll be the one who takes care of you. I will be the one who comforts you. Who finds life easy to cope with? Is anyone? Anyone here finds life easy to cope with? You jump out of bed every day and yeah, come on, let's get on with the day. Let's get on with the next one. And you just, you know, you're skipping through life like a field full of daisies. Say again. It's true, yeah. I've done it a couple of times. But some days you are, others days. And not every day is bad. Some days it's just run of the mill. You know, a lot of days are just average. But sometimes we can come to the end of the week and we're like a worn out old rag. You know, we're tired. We think, oh, look forward to the weekend or something. And then something happens on the weekend and you think, my goodness. You know, this is happening now and I didn't get my rest at the weekend. And you two are here. Look, come on, roll on Wednesday, my day off or something. Let's have a look at the next one though. God says, I am with you. I am your God. I will strengthen you. That's the third foundation to get from A to B. God says, I will strengthen you. In Ephesians chapter 6, Paul tells us as Christians that our life is a fight, is a battle, that there's all kinds of things set against us, all kinds of things that as a Christian, if you want to live a life that's passionate for God, committed to God, there are all kinds of things that are going to be against you. That's the picture Paul paints. But he says in Ephesians 6, verse 10, to be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. To take hold of God's strength and everything he has and make it his own. Somebody once told a story about a king, you know, king in the Middle Ages, very rich king, influential, powerful, rich. And he falls in love. But the woman he falls in love with is a prostitute. And she's got loads of debt, no reputation, nothing going for her. But the king falls in love with her. And the king marries the prostitute. And on their wedding day, they make some vows. And the king says, to the prostitute. Words to the effect of, everything I've got, I give to you. And she says the same to him. So the very next day, what's happened to all the debts that the prostitute had? They're gone. The king's more than enough paid for them. The rags she was wearing, she's now go shopping in the best clothes shops. She's got everything she needs purely because she now belongs to the king. And it's the same with us. When you become a Christian, God says to you, everything I've got is now yours. You need strength. You need help. You need wisdom. It's yours for the asking. All you have to do is ask me for it. And when situations come and you feel like you can't lift your head up again, you need to take hold of four words like this where God says, I will strengthen you. And say, God, give me strength. God, help me through this situation. God, help me to resist this sin. Help me to overcome this temptation. Give me strength to endure in this situation I'm facing right now. Give me the strength to love this person. Give me the strength to show mercy. Give me the strength to help this person. Give me the strength to carry on loving my family. And God will give it you. I am with you. I am your God. I will strengthen you. Let's have a look at the next one. God says, I will help you. In the Hebrew here, doesn't come across in the English, but in the Hebrew here, there's the word surely or yes. It means surely I will help you. Surely, yes, I will. You know, if I had my time over again, Karen, I'd call her Shirley. So she could come across a verse like this and it says, surely I will help you. Surely I'll be with you. I'd love to do something like that. Change my name to Shirley. Did you know Big Daddy? Remember Big Daddy the wrestler? His real name was Shirley. Yeah, it's true. But there you go. God says, surely I will help you. God doesn't want to have any doubt in your mind, any question about it. God wants you to know this morning that he will be the one who helps you. Let's have a look at the next slide. 1 Peter 5, verse 7. Casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. This verse here tells us how God feels about you. How does God feel about you according to this verse? Cares for you. How does God feel about you according to this verse? Right, look at the person next to you. Play along and just look at the person and say, God really does care for you, you know. Go on, play along. Well, some of, thank you. Some of you look happy about it as well. God really does care for you. This God, this creator, this one who is so powerful, you're on his heart. You're on his mind. And he cares for you. So because he cares for you, because he watches over you, because he's affectionate towards you, what should our response be, according to this verse? Because God cares for us, what should our response be? Cast all our anxieties on him. Every care, every anxiety, every worry, every burden, everything that's getting you down, God says, I care for you. Come and tell me all about it. He wants to help. If you don't hear anything else this morning, just hear this. God wants to help. But he'll only help when you invite him. When you go to him and you give him your cares. And when you give him your cares, you don't need to know flowery, fancy language. You can be all snotty-nosed and teary-eyed if you want. You can just tell him. Because he really does care. He really does love. He really does show affection to us. And then when we take our anxieties to him, he does something about them. He takes them. He intervenes. He meets needs. He answers prayers. He listens to our cry to help. He'll help you. I am with you. I'm your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. And then the last one, I will uphold you. Can you stick the next one up for us, please? Yeah. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Because sometimes life knocks us down. And you've probably been like this, where you get knocked down, you get back up, and you get knocked down, and you get back up, and you get knocked down, and you think, I'll blow it. You know, have you ever just wanted to pull the duvet over your head and not bother? Yeah. You just think, I can't be bothered. Just get up and I get knocked down again. And people are going, yeah, I feel like. You feel like that at some times. But God says, I'll uphold you with my righteous right hand, his hand that will always do right, his hand that's powerful, his hand that's victorious. God promises each one of us this morning that whatever happens in your life, no matter how big it might be, how burdensome it might be, how much baggage you've got, he'll help you. He'll uphold you. He will sustain you. And you might look at your life and you think, well, if God takes me on, does he really know what he's letting himself in for? You know, I've got a lot going on at the moment in my life. There's a lot of baggage there. There's a lot of stuff that's going to happen. But God says, I'll carry you. I'll help you. Let's have a look at one more promise. So Isaiah 46, verses 3 to 4. Isaiah 46, 3 to 4. Listen to me, O house of Jacob, all who remain of the house of Israel. You whom I have upheld since you were conceived and have carried since your birth, even to your old age and grey hairs, I am he who will sustain you. I have made you and I will carry you. I will sustain you and I will rescue you. That's what God says. I've upheld you since you were conceived. Putting it bluntly, God's been watching over you since the sperm met the egg and they got together and you started to be formed. God has had his eye on every single one of you. Every single one of us, he's watched over affectionately. You might not have been planned by people. You might not have been wanted by people. But God has been there bringing you to this point today. Because he says, I've carried you since your birth. And the reason you're here today in Valleys Family Church is because right up until now, God has carried you. God has brought you here. You've piggybacked, you've stumbled. God has brought you to this point. And God wants to be the God who so steps into your life that he says, even to your old age and grey hairs. And I saw you looking at Lisa. I saw you looking. How many did you find? Tell me afterwards, okay? You might get a slap if you say no. God says, even to your old age and grey hair, I will carry you and sustain you and rescue you. So God's invitation to each one of us here is right up until the day you leave this earth and then on through all eternity, to your old age, to your grey hair, I'll be there for you, to sustain you, to carry you, to uphold you, to rescue you. Doesn't matter what comes, God says, I will be there for you. And only he can truly say something like that, because only he is God and has got the power and the love and the compassion to make good on each one of those commands. Because people might say it, and they could still be with you to your old age, but they might not be there for you every single step of the way. Sometimes the load might be too big for you and other people to carry. But God says to each one of us this morning, I've been watching over you since you were conceived. I've carried you since your birth. And I want to be there for you, even to your old age. He wants to be with you. He wants to be your God. He wants to strengthen you. He wants to help you. He wants to uphold you from today onwards through to all eternity. So I don't know how the meeting's going to go in a bit when I hand over to back to Stuart. But God just wants each one of us to take hold of his promise. Let's have a look at the next one, please, Gordon, the last one. God wants you to take hold of his promise this morning. Simple promises, but foundations for our daily lives of getting from where we are today, through the rest of today, through this week, through this month, through this year, and a promise to live by for the rest of our lives. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will surely help you. Yes, I will surely uphold you with my righteous right hand.
Wonderful. Thanks, Phil. Phil, come back. Let me ask you to pray for us, for God's peace, for God's presence. What I'm going to do, I'm going to sing Psalm 46 over you guys. If you want to sing along with me, you can. But I've written some chords to that psalm, and I think it'd be good to sing that. And if we're going through times of stress, anxiety, it's an opportunity for us just to listen to those words or sing them out as a statement of faith and give those situations to God. I'm just going to ask Phil to lead us in prayer, just to pray for us for any areas that we are going through in terms of anxiety.
Father, I do just pray for every person here now, for each one of us, Lord, that will have our eyes opened to know that you mean what you say there in Isaiah 41, that you're offering those promises to each one of us to be with us and to be our God, to help us, uphold us, and to sustain us. And I just pray for each person here, Lord, whatever season of life we might be in, whatever situation we might be facing, whatever dismay or hurt might be there in the past, whatever's going on in the future, if you just feel that some of this is relevant to you, that